May I have your attention, please? Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Sanovich Label Nabiah Hawkins, and I'd like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's now time to start finding your seats for Sabbath services.
Shabbat Shalom. My name is Sanovich Label Yedidah, and I'd like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's now my privilege and honor to present to you when the sons and daughters of Israel will now enter in the sanctuary. It's my privilege and honor to present to you when the sons of Israel, Nabiah Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The title of my speech today is Respect for Authority. An authority is someone who watches over you and is responsible for you, such as a parent, teacher, or supervisor. We need to respect our authorities because they keep us safe. If you can turn over in your books of Yahweh, turn over to Hebrews 13. It's on page 952. Hebrews 13, verse 17. And it says, "Obey those who have the rule over you, and submit yourself, for they watch for your souls, as they who must give account. Do your part, so they may do so with joy, and not with grief, for this is unprofitable for you." Not obeying the authority is making yourself into the image of the gods. Prohibitive law number 3 says, "Do not take on the character of the gods," and for your notes, Leviticus 19, verse 4 is a scripture for that. In Genesis 1:26, it says, "Yahweh will make man in his image." It didn't say in the God's image. Satan told Eve the lie in Genesis chapter 3 that you won't die if you sin, but you will be as the gods, knowing righteousness and evil. If you can turn over in your books of Yahweh to page 490, it's Psalms 135 and verse 18, and it says, "Those who make gods become just like them, so is everyone who trusts in them. They are powerless and senseless as the gods they worship." So the gods are powerless, they cannot protect you. Positive law number 209 says, "Show honor and respect to Yahweh's appointed teachers." And that's Leviticus 19, verse 32. So if we disobey our authorities, we are disobeying Yahweh, which is making ourselves into the image of the gods. Honor is to have high regard for someone, so we should have high regard for our authorities. By obeying the authorities, we are showing respect. Not obeying brings curses. You cut yourself off from Yahweh and let Satan control you. Without Yahweh's protection, you could lose your life. An example of disobedience in the scriptures is 1 Samuel 15. It's on page 234 and verse 3. "Now go attack the Amalekites and utterly destroy all that they have. Do not spare them. Kill both man and woman, infant and nursing child, ox, sheep, camel, and donkey." And verse 9 says, "But Shaul and his men spared Agag, along with the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, the lambs, everything that was of superior quality, they were unwilling to utterly destroy. However, everything despised and weak, that they utterly destroyed." And down in verse 23 it says, "Then Samuel said, Has Yahweh as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of Yahweh? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen better than the fat of rams. Because rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness the same as iniquity. Because you have rejected the word of Yahweh, he has also rejected you from being king. So we see because of Shaul's disobedience, he was no longer king. Obedience keeps us safe. For example, if the authority tells us not to run in the street and we disobey and run in the street, we might get hit by a car. Or in the classroom, if the teacher tells you not to tip back your chair and you decide to tip back your chair, you can fall and get hurt. These are some examples of what could occur if we disobey. Our authorities give us instructions for our safety and well-being, as we read earlier in Hebrews 13, verse 17. And we should be thankful for that. Reading from the Oki 24-Hour Manual. On page 12, it talks about proper speech and gesture towards authority to help us to be respectful. It says, the way children are allowed to speak and express themselves plays a big part in the level of respect they express to authorities and others. Reading further, it says, anytime a child responds with arguing, backtalk, or resentment to a rebuke, to correction, or to a reminder given by an authority, he should be reminded that correction is a sign of true love, and showing appreciation and acknowledgement would be better ways to respond. And as the great Gahan brought out, he said, when you're corrected, you should say, praise Yahweh, or thank you for pointing that out to me. And for my last scripture, if you turn over to Ephesians, it's on page 919, Ephesians 6, and starting at verse 5, it says, servants, be obedient to those who are your rulers, according to the flesh, with fear, trembling, and sincerity of heart, as to the Messiah. And in verse 1 it says, children, obey your parents in Yahweh, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. So remember to always respect and obey the authorities, and you will receive blessings instead of curses, and you will have Yahweh's protection. And with that, if you all please stand, I'll turn over to the next speaker.
The great son of Yisrael Abel, Deacon Tawakia Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Now, with all of the new knowledge that we're being told, all of the things that we're being taught here at the House of Yahweh, it's important that we don't lose focus of the things that we were taught years and years ago, the things that we've heard over and over again. Okay, it's important that we don't lose focus of those things, because those things are just as important now as they were back then, whenever Pastor brought these things out and the priest brought these things out. So I'm going to go over a couple points first of things that we've heard over and over again, things that we should know, but it's just reminding us of these things. Just remember that the Book of Yahweh foretells the time period of the increase of knowledge. Now, we should know that it says that in Daniel 12, verse 4, and that this is the time period. This time period, this last generation, started in 1934 with the birth of the Last Day's Witness. And so that's one thing that we've heard over and over again that we should not lose focus of. And also, the Book of Yahweh has writings of several inspired prophets warning about this present generation, about this last day's generation, what's going to take place, how mankind is going to be acting, what they're going to be doing. Well, we know that mankind, they've rejected Yahweh's laws, and they are continuing to reject Yahweh's laws. They're not going to change right now. But because they rejected Yahweh's laws, that's leading to the diseases, the fighting, the war that we are seeing in today in the world around us. Now that's what I'm going to focus on, because mankind rejecting Yahweh's laws. Like Yahweh warned Cain that the sinful course that he had chosen would bring retaliation, vengeance, and continual war. Well, we see the same thing. The course that mankind has chosen in these last days is bringing continual war, vengeance, and retaliation. If we look at Genesis chapter 4, verse 7, on page 3, it says, If you do righteousness, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do righteousness, sin is crouching at your door. The desire to sin is with you, but you must overcome it. Notice that it's with us. The carnal mind is with us, but we have to get over that. We have to put that behind us. We have to put the ways of the world, the things of the world, the things that are being taught in the world behind us, not want any part of it. If we look at verse 13, it says, And Cain said to Yahweh, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Verse 14, surely you have driven me out this day from the face of the ground. I shall not be seen by your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth. For there will be continual war, vengeance, and retaliation. Now Yahweh didn't curse him, or Yahweh didn't bring these things upon them. Cain brought these things upon himself. It's because of the way he chose and brought these things upon himself. Now these are consequences. This continual war, vengeance, and retaliation, it's consequences for the way that they chose. I'm going to get into that a little bit later, but we're seeing the same thing, these same consequences, these same curses, if you will, in the world today, just on a much larger scale. We see wars being fought all around the world. We see diseases all around the world. We're seeing new diseases come up almost every day. We're seeing civil war and war within our own country and in the neighborhoods, people killing each other over really, it's not over things that shouldn't even be a conflict over. They're fighting over. So it's just getting worse and worse. Now remember that we all have a choice. Just like Cain brought these things, he chose that way which brought those things upon him. We have that same choice. We can choose to do the right thing or we can choose to do the wrong thing. It's the basics that we've been taught in the peaceful solution. And it's the same thing with the house of Yahweh and the book of Yahweh. In Deuteronomy 30:19, Yahweh tells us that it's our choice. It's our choice. Deuteronomy 30:19. It's on page 173. It says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you this day that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses, because you are free agents to make your own choice between righteousness and evil. Notice, we're free. We have the choice. Therefore, choose life so both you and your children may live. Okay, choosing Yahweh's laws leads one to eternal life. But we have to completely, we can't halfway keep Yahweh's laws. We have to completely keep Yahweh's laws. Now, remember, Yahweh doesn't want to see anybody fail. Remember what it says in Ezekiel chapter 18. Even wants the person that has been sinning his whole life, if he turns to the laws of Yahweh, he wants to see him succeed. He wants to see each and every one of us succeed. Now, there may be tests and trials, we may hit a few bumps in the road, but he wants to see us succeed in the end. Now, getting back to the thing about the way that mankind chose and the consequences for their actions, mankind, they... if we look at the peaceful solution real quick with self-control, let's take. Self-control, it starts with controlling your thoughts, because your thoughts lead to feelings, your feelings lead to actions, which lead to rewards or consequences. So it's kind of a chain reaction. One thing leads to another. Well, mankind, they didn't control their thoughts. They had let the illegal lust, they let the things, simple problems get in their way of controlling their thoughts, which led to feelings that weren't right, which led to actions, which led to consequences or curses. And remember, a curse causes will not come. There's going to be a reason why we're getting that curse. Okay? Yahweh's not just going to send these things down on us just because he wants to. And we need to be guarding our mind so that nothing of the world would enter. It's very important. And you can't just guard your mind by not listening to the things of the world. You have to make sure that you're studying, focusing on the things that you should be, not the things of the world. Coming to the classes, getting involved in the work of Yahweh. Yahshua warned us as whenever he was talking to the disciples to be on guard so that no man deceives you. Okay? Be on guard so that no man deceives you. And like I said, we do that by studying, by coming to the classes, learning at the feet of the overseer, and remain focused, being focused on the things of the house of Yahweh, not losing sight of the goal that we have all set, and we should have all set. Because remember what the peaceful solution talks about, setting goals in our mind, and working to our very best to achieve those goals. Now just remember, in conclusion, that heaven and earth may pass away, but Yahweh's words, Yahweh's teachings pertaining to the laws and the prophets will not pass away. That's something that we can all count on. That's never going to go away. Remember, like Pastor said, the book of Yahweh is back and it's here to stay. The teaching of Yahweh is back and it's here to stay. It's not going anywhere. Okay, so just remember that. Remain focused on the things, on the goal that we should have set years and years ago. And with that, if y'all please stand, I have the great honor and privilege to turn the services over to the great Kahn Ilya.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may all be seated. Of course, in today's news, just like every other week, it gets worse and worse, but there's always this false sense of hope that's being talked to by mainstream media. But what we notice going on today, we see this thing in Rio, the Olympics. You know, that's supposed to take place August 5th. They're going to gather. But they're talking about the utter disarray that Rio is in right now. This is in Brazil, where they have raw sewage flowing down the streets. The country is pretty much bankrupt. And the murders are at an all-time high. And, of course, disease with Zika. But now we're going to send everybody down there to partake of this thing that was created to remember, become a god. Be a god. Be the best god you can be. Well, that's what we see in society. And just think of what the repercussions are going to be from this gathering in Rio, sending everyone there to exert themselves to their utmost ability. And then they're going to return to their homelands. And think of how many countries are involved. And then we hear about these murders. Of course, officers shot in Baton Rouge this week, which was devastating. We see something in Germany and someone taking a gun, shooting 9 people. These things are devastating. But now notice how much media was shown just yesterday to what took place in Germany. But how much have you heard about the 64 shootings that took place over July 4th weekend in Chicago? How much news have you heard about the 114 shootings that have taken place the last 2 holidays in Chicago? And these shootings are on the rise, and they're not going down, they're going up. So obviously what they're doing, if anything, is not working. They don't have an answer. They have no solution. And of course, Baltimore has more murders than Chicago. But when you hear Baltimore, of course, you hear about the cop brutality that they talk about, or the police brutality, where a man lost his life. But you don't hear about all these other murders. Well, that's a broken system that we're seeing. It's a system that is not working, no solutions. And then soldiers and aggression. A study was done, and I challenge all of our young people who want to teach the peaceful solution, prepare yourselves to how you could explain this to these comments that are made by these so-called professors. They say that these soldiers are coming, returning back from military service with an anger of aggression. They're angry. But they're saying, well, they may have entered the military with this personality trait of anger to begin with. Now, if you had to explain that, watch this article carefully, and we could send our 5-year-olds to sure straighten out some of these colleges, because the information they have is wrong. But listen carefully to what's said and consider how could we teach to fix this, because we can. And then a correctional officer last week was murdered out here at the prison, which is in Abilene. This made headline news. Now, that was devastating that a lady lost her life, and there's nothing you can do to ease that devastation except fix the problem. Now, of course, they relocated this gentleman, a 21-year-old man, who murdered this woman. But you don't hear anything said about what started it. This young man went into prison at 14 for sexually aggravated assault. And consider what led him to do that at 14 years of age. Well, all of those things taking place led to this woman being murdered last week. So remember, don't look at the call, don't look at the result of the cause, look at the cause. And think about that as you're seeing this news. And then the drought. The drought, not just in California, not just in the United States. This drought is worldwide. And notice in California, where they have very little water left, even the water they have, they're destroying it. Listen to the chemicals that can be found in it, and listen to why the chemicals are found in that water. And then look what's taking place, not just in the United States, but also in Africa. And listen to the stress point that they make, that these crops, and they say stress, that next year's crop is actually being formed within the plant at this time period, and if the crop is stressed, next year's crop won't turn out. So what we see taking place now actually affects us more than we already know or consider. And then the last drought article, you're going to notice it was done by a Christian broadcast network company. We'll leave it at that. And they go over to help these poor families and they give them seeds, they give them water, they give them a pump, and notice what they have them doing in the end. For all of these things they've done, watch what they're doing in the end. And you'll notice a lot of people are praying to the gods. And then the news closes out with, of course, the newest prime minister in the UK, Theresa May. They're in parliament, and someone asks, is this woman ready to kill 100,000 innocent people with a nuclear bomb? And her answer is a resounding yes. She's ready to do it. So at this time, if we could please go ahead and play the news. The greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yisrael Abel Hawkins. Shalom, everyone! Praise Yahweh! All right, let's go real great. Woo! Praise Yahweh. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Things are looking better all the time. I can hardly wait to see the end of all of this, but I'm going to try to absorb everything that takes place between now and then. I don't want to forget a thing. I want to be able to teach it throughout all eternity. Praise Yahweh. Let me see. I didn't want to start with that. We're hunting. Let me see. What are we hunting? That's the farming. That goes to our blue school. Blue school. Yeah, here I got it. Okay. Chat help announcement. What we're needing, the calls are increasing, the emails are increasing. Praise Yahweh, and we need chatters, people that like to chat, gossip, or whatever, or you can actually gossip about things that are beneficial. But we need men and women, young men, young women, anyone that can work a computer or wants to learn how to work a computer, we'll train you. And we're getting we want to start now. If you'll get your names into today on women's side, Tana, Benya Hawkins, Kalia Hawkins, Kalia Alexander Hawkins, hope I got that right, Rio Shoshana Hawkins. Now that's on the women's side. If you'll get your names into them, that you want to be a part of this chat announcement team, they will start training you, putting you to work. On the men's side, I think I left a card laying up there, but it's Kohan Elia Hyler Hawkins, Deacon Yisrael Abel Hawkins, Deacon Yisrael David Hawkins, and Deacon Samuel Vang Hawkins. They will be back here in the back of the sanctuary somewhere. Right after services, get your names in to them. Now, there's something more, but I'm not going to tell you that till the end of this sermon that you're going to be thrilled about, and hopefully you will, and want to get your name in on that too. Chat announcements. I'm chatting. I'm at the top of Google again. See, telling about how the lies they told about the Apostle Kepha that changed his name to a derogatory title and made out like it was a righteous thing they were doing. As you can see from the news, the drought is not over by a long shot, carrying their water for 5 miles. Man, I never did carry it that long and that far in Oklahoma. Colorado town may have marijuana in their water. Great trick, I guess, for those who are wanting to pull tricks. All that leads to is more trouble. Of course, legalizing marijuana was one of the biggest tricks the government ever played on mankind.
I know you've heard of the show. I hate to say it. The name is named after a god, a demonic god, but the Pokemon or Pukemon. Maybe it was Pukemon. I just pronouncing it wrong. When I saw this, they said it's sweeping America and sweeping the world. And I said, you know, we could do one better than this, and we have the talent in the house of Yahweh to do it. So I talked to some of the leaders in the house, and they said, yes, we can do it. But what I want to do, what Yahweh wants us to do, is create one called the Oki Man. Oki Man instead of Pokemon. Oki Man, and then we want two of them. We want the Oki Woman, of course. And so we'll have two, and we'll have to do this all ourselves, animations, but we can do it. We have talent. We can do it. We'll learn to do it if we. And by the feast, I would like several that we can use, that we can recommend by feast time. So we're going to have to get some time in on this. I said, I'll write this. My mind was whirling when Yahweh put it all in there a few days ago or a few weeks ago. But this has been kind of boiling over. But I want to take you back to the beginning and show you this this plan. Now, the first thing I would like to do is start with the monsters that the demons created, the dinosaurs, show the first creation, and then the angels that left their first estate and came and tried to destroy Yahweh's plan. And of course, they created the dinosaurs, and I guess they probably had in mind the dinosaurs was going to eat mankind when Yahweh placed them on earth, because they knew he was going to place mankind on earth. They knew his plan. So they created this, but they created war machines. And if you have one of those things, you can see it in this. And I've never seen one. don't intend to look at one, but I know what it is, and I know that they teach war. So did the dinosaurs. They taught war. In fact, they were used in war, and of course they actually wiped themselves out down to the last one. That's something like they're doing now with mankind. But then after that, of course, Yahweh started his 6,000-year plan. Now write that down, 6,000 years. It means something to you. You've got to see this and see Yahweh's overall plan to understand what Yahweh is doing. He hasn't failed. Not one time has Yahweh failed. When the dinosaurs was put on earth, the demons probably thought Yahweh is never going to get rid of these animals, you know. he's not going to be able to use the earth. We've got these things scattered all over the earth. How is he going to put a mankind down there? But 6,000-year plan, it works out to the finishing now. This 6,000 years that we see in the feast, showing the plan of Yahweh and the 6,000-year plan of Yahweh, where he brings to a finish his finishing work, where we actually resurrect the dead in this 6,000-year plan. Works out to the finishing at the same time of the establishment of the house of Yahweh, the last generation, the establishment of the house of Yahweh, that you see in Micaiah 4 and Isaiah 2. Yahweh's plan completion, his plan that he's going to complete, is shown in the very first chapter of Genesis. Genesis 1:26. That's his plan. It's never been disturbed. Yahweh knows in advance everything the enemy is going to do. This is one of the great things about Yahweh. There's so many great things about him. You know, it takes books and books and books to tell it. But in the beginning, he showed in his plan, I'm going to make man in my image. Now, apparently the heavens already knew this. And of course, Satan was used, Hillel was used, before she turned against him. She's still being used to see how many she can pull out. And that's one of the things that this program, I think by next Sabbath, we'll bring some more, get deeper into the program itself that's out there now, the demonic program. And it is a demonic program, and we'll bring it out to where you'll understand how Satan is using that, and she's making war. Remember, making war against the house of Yahweh? The word itself is a romanization of the Japanese word that actually means karate fighting. It's showing you how to be a mighty warrior. The word Rome itself, that's what it means, is mighty warrior. They created themselves a war machine, and that war machine, like the dinosaurs, is going to destroy itself. But Yahweh, in this same time period, is going to bring forth faithful workers that cannot be deceived. If it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. That's what they're out to do. Yeshua said that. They're out to deceive the very elect. Yahweh says it's not possible. But why? Because you know Yahweh's plan. And I'm going to make it so plain to you, if I haven't already, that you can see that Yahweh allows them to go so far. And what's set up already, in his prophecies is shown where they're going to end. Exactly where they're going to end. And of course, this 6,000-year plan, it finishes out with the two witnesses in these last days and the resurrection. Yochanan 1:1 said, in the beginning was the plan. Everything was done according to that plan, and nothing was done that he didn't agree to allow to be done, to check his men, check his faithful workers out. My called and chosen and faithful. That's what's your name in the Holy Scripture. So you can't be deceived. We see the beginning, the numbers, and they check out 4,004, if you want to write that down, 4,004. That was when mankind was placed on earth, 4,004. We're at 2016. If you'll write down these numbers, we're at 2016. If you add 2016 to 4,004, you come out to over 6,000, right? Okay, you got it? That figures up to be 6,020 years. 6,020 right now. So the plan to make man in the image and likeness of Yahweh started with two priests. Two priests. You got to teach, and you got to teach both sides of the coin. And that's what Yahweh allowed to be set up in what is called the Garden of Eden. There's some corrections in that, but they're still enough, even in the King James Version, to figure this out. But it starts with two priests. If you look at Genesis 1:26, it says, I will make man in my image. Well, how does he make man in his image? He teaches. He teaches that person, trains that person, And if the person is wise, they will believe Yahweh and can see from the writing itself that Yahweh is right and what he warns you against is wrong. It would take an idiot, which I guess the world is full of fools already, but it would take a complete fool to believe that you can rape little boys and still bring forth peace and be in Yahweh's image. And that's what the priest of the Roman Catholic Church has the right to do from the evil gods that they worship. Satan is the leader of those gods, and she promotes god worship. She's the one that does through inspiration the teaching of Cain. Cain was one that taught god worship. He taught war and fighting. He demonstrated it. His own fruits demonstrated it when he sent them out, his soldiers out to kill Abel. They demonstrated the evil of the gods, which brings forth continual war, promotes it and brings it forth. And you saw the woman now. I hope you all caught that. They asked her point blank, "Are you willing to kill all of these innocent people?" And she answered readily. Apparently she's been thinking it over for a long, long time. Did you hear her a while ago when she said yes? Well, that's the mind frame that Cain also had. There's a God worshiping tree that he put in the garden, and there's a tree of righteousness that brings forth no harm, no hurt, Yeshua being the perfect example. Not Samson. No, he didn't bring forth the perfect example. He brought forth agitation and war. He was strong. He was very strong. Had given great strength, showing that Yahweh can give strength to anybody that he wants to give, and put it wherever he wants to. This was coming from Yahweh. What he does with that is what Satan or Yahweh tells him to do, whichever side he goes on. Well, we got 6,020 years here already used up. The year that Cain killed Abel, look at it, that at Genesis 4 and verse 8, he says, and Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were spread abroad. This spreading abroad, it took place in 3875, this death. Now, if you subtract 3875 from 4004, you get 129 years. 129 years here when he actually killed Abel. 129 years. So when they were spread abroad, meaning there was quite a few people on earth in 125 years, and Cain and Abel were not the only ones, and they started multiplying rapidly. And then if you remember, Yahweh said there was Terence among them. The King James Version has, you know, gods, and they make out like that these were the angels from heaven and mixing with man. That's not true at all. This was tyrants on earth that Cain himself taught to be tyrants, like Cush himself was, and Cush's people was. And of course, that's where your wars came from, up until the time that they made the earth so drunk and frustrated and confused that the waters could no longer separate the waters in heaven could no longer hold their separation. What did I do with that picture? I don't think I brought it. If you could get me another picture. I got to show you this. There's a perfect picture handed to me this morning. But when the earth gets so drunk and so confused that it couldn't keep the water that Yahweh separated above the firmament and below the firmament, it couldn't keep it separated, and it dropped to the earth within 40 days' time, day and night, 24 hours a day, dropping to the earth to actually flood the earth and kill everyone that Yahweh didn't get prepared for it. Yeah, praise Yahweh. Here's that looks like an atomic blast, doesn't it? What that is, it's a rain cloud. And it's dumping. That's dumping water from this cloud. It's dumping it on that city right there. Now, we're in the same state of confusion right now, the earth is, in this generation, that is the firmament, that's fighting to do what law has set, is set for them to do, the microorganisms that create and allow the rain to drop. But they're confused too now, to a certain degree, and they're fighting to do their job, but they're letting it be shown, it's being shown that they can't do their job successfully. And you saw what's taking place to the farms. No, the drought is not over. You know, I don't care what the local news says. They haven't got sense enough to pour water out of a boot with a heel with a direction on the heel. They don't know where it comes from, where it goes to, what it's used for. They don't even know what they don't even know what it is. They don't know what H2O is. They don't know how Yahweh separated H2O or combines it, H2O, to where it won't blast the earth to smithereens. But I told you all of that before, and I don't want to waste my time on it now. But back to this, we're at 129 years now. First off, we have a game in this Oki Man computer game. We're going to create that, right? Right. you get with these people that I told you about to begin with, and we're going to create that game. It's going to be better than theirs. It's going to be better than theirs. It's going to show Yahweh's. It's going to show the dinosaurs first. And I'll get you all that information, or you can look it up yourself. That's fine too. But we're going to bring that out first and have it in this animation much better than theirs. We've already seen ways that we can improve that. And so it's going to be better than theirs, more fun to play. But it's going to teach you the truth about Yahweh's creation, how it's been how Satan is continually trying to stop it. Abel. Well, I wiped out Abel. That's the end of his work. You know. No. In fact, that was part of the plan, and Yahweh knew they was going to do it long in advance, millions of years in advance, probably. Or hundreds of thousands. He doesn't set a date on when he knew it, but he knew it. But it didn't stop his work. In fact, from Abel's teaching, the world was still getting instruction thousands of years later. Ask it Abel. Still getting instructions. Even in this last generation, it's getting instruction. So Yahweh's plan was to make man in his likeness and his image. The dinosaurs didn't stop it. Cain didn't stop it. Even though Satan put it in his mind to teach this war, the war games. Yes, he was the first pope. The agency that was teaching him that he got it from, of course, was Satan herself. And he's the one that set up the Catholic Church, or maybe they formed it together with Cain, but he's the Pope that they put out front to be the mouthpiece, as they got today. The little horn that had the eyes and the mouth. If you notice the news, they have eyes now everywhere. I was told this morning that this game with the iPhone, that once you punch that button, they have all your information and can track you and what you're doing, everything you do, from then on the rest of your life until that phone is destroyed. Now that is the eyes that this beastly system has. Well, we're going to give them one, and we don't mind them looking. We want them to look at it. But you got 129 years now of breeding here, of multiplying, and that number is when Cain killed Abel was 3,875 BY. 129 years, or maybe 128 years, she bore Cain, they think, in 4003. She bore Abel probably by 4002, 2 years later, second year, or maybe even before that. But it was in that time period now. So you're dealing with about 20 years over the 6,000 year plan. But the plan started with these two trees, and of course their gifts that they brought, these two priests brought in this time period here, 4003, where Cain and Abel were born, and then they went on from there for 129 years. When did they start preaching? When did they start preaching? There's examples that you can pick from. 12-year-old is the normal one where they started training to be priest or become a student of the law at 12 years old. So it could possibly be 20 years, when they started bringing forth fruit, people. People, when they started bringing forth people. So if it was 20 years, it would be this year, probably, when it was when it ends. The trees, if you notice in chapter 2 here, in verse 9, he says the tree of life, that was put in front of the people, in the midst of the garden, and the tree of righteousness and evil was put in the garden, in front of the people. These are the two trees. Yeshua explains that. If you turn over to Matthew 7, he explains it here and shows you exactly what Cain and Abel were doing. Yeshua said the words of Abel, he called Abel righteous Abel. He himself testified to that. Righteous Abel, when he was preaching, he also testified about righteous Noah, which came forth from the teaching of righteous Abel. So he's producing fruit. This Abel was the tree that produced righteousness. Righteous Abel, who built the ark in this time period that saved mankind. Oh, it saved mankind, kept him alive, then brought forth the seed of Abraham, which he shows you next there. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself here, but you can keep that in mind. In Matthew 7, if you'll start with verse 13, he says, now this is Abel, this is what Abel taught, the righteous tree set in the Garden of Eden, this is what Abel was teaching. enter in through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many are those who go that way. What's the world doing today? How many people, how many religions do you see in the world today that is teaching righteousness, like Abel taught? I only know of one. One. And Yahweh said he would have one work in this time period right here. One work. And he says, I will have no work other than that I have prophesied in advance. And Yahshua says, you're a fool if you don't believe what he has written for you. Yahweh had this written for you, and especially for this last generation. Now listen to me, because you're the ones in this generation that's going to resurrect all of those that Cain murdered. Cain, the Catholic Church, the first pope. Yes, they came right down to Egypt. Cush was their father. The Cushites are the ones that formed Egypt. And Yahweh took his seed, from which he was going to get the Savior, and sent them down into Egypt to be trained by Cush. The picture is that they made slaves out of them. Well, they did. Just as they're making slaves out of the world today. They train you in school to be a slave to the corporations who use you at McDonald's or the banks or wherever they need you to work to bring forth money to them where they can live in luxury while you work and survive on whatever they want to give you. This big raise, minimum wage, we're going to raise it. What's it going to amount to if we do? The inflation is outranking the raise and what is going to come into effect. You know, it doesn't take much intelligence to figure that one out. And the people are suffering. Women are selling breast milk to try to survive. They're selling hair off of their head to people who make wigs out of their hair. They're doing all sorts of things to survive right now. People are living in automobiles and trying to hide from CRS or whatever it is to keep them from taking their children away from them. Those letters do mean something. To a Nokia it does. But that's the shape the world is in. The refugees, you can see the love that they have for these people that they've destroyed their homes, run them out of their country, taken their wealth. You can see how much they love them when they say, would you be willing to kill all these men, women, and children? And they say, sure I would. Put me in office and I'll kill them. Well, this is testimony that you can use, brethren, because Yahweh says, I'm going to put this before heaven and earth, and I'm going to let you see the worst part of it. Deuteronomy 30:15. I'm going to witness, the heaven and earth is going to witness what I'm showing you here is taking place on all the planets, in all the galaxies. Did you notice that they discovered, I think it was 129 more galaxies? This is galaxies. You got a big job ahead of you. If you produce children and multiplied and produce children for millions of years, you'd still be trying to catch up with the expanse of this galaxy to teach them Yahweh's way. That's what that's what jobs Yahweh has for you already in advance. That's your job. And it's not impossible. You're going to do it. Yahweh says you're going to do it, and everything he says is 100% factual. Well, he says, enter in the straight gate. Abel says, enter in the straight gate, because many are going to go this other way. And Cain proved this. And of course, Yeshua said, just as the days of Noah, so is this generation going to be. He said that in Matthew 24. Showed you exactly how it's going to be. Every thought and intent of the heart is evil continually. The games that they have on this iPhone that I'm talking about is war games. And I was told yesterday that the cards that came out before this was in, you know, put on like a deck cards that you play cards with. And you could buy these, and the young people were buying them and playing war games with them years ago. I think about 1996. And then it developed then. It was a going thing then. I never saw one, never heard of it until just here recently when I saw it. I said, we need that ourselves. We need to create our own games here and put it out there that will educate and train the people in what they're here for, what they're put on earth for, and show that Yahweh is winning this war, not Satan. And it's going exactly as he said. He says, because straight is the gate. You're not going to change it. There's no way of changing this straightness. It's either straight or you get off of the curb and fall off of the bridge or whatever. In showing this, how this grabs the mind, they had it on the news, and they showed this person walking in. One person is looking at his phone like this and walking down the street, runs into a ladder where a man is up on the ladder putting a sign up on a poster board, knocks the ladder over. Now, I don't think he killed him, but it was funny the way they had it shown. But the trouble of it was that the person that did this, they were so surprised that they were so engrossed in this game. See, another woman was walking across down the street in a park area. There was a water fountain, and around it was a rock wall. She stumbles over the rock wall with this phone in her hand into the water, gets up, and shakes it off like this in the water, climbs over, watching where she's, you know, and climbs out and keeps watching that goofy phone. Now, that's how engrossed your mind is when you start playing with these demons, that I think we can pretty much prove that you are playing with a pocket full of demons. Pocket monsters. I think we can prove what you're doing when you're playing with that. And the children now, the senseless, they're just senseless. They're going and getting in churchyards, gathering in churchyards, and begging for demons to enter their body. Well, the demons are probably overcrowded now with their work, so the odds are against it. Don't let your imagination run away with you. They can't touch you. Demons can't bother you. Now, he says, to clarify this, he says, beware of false prophets. Well, of course, that's what Cain was, a false prophet. That's what the Pope is today. He's a false prophet. All of these religions that are not prophesied in the Holy Scriptures as Yahweh's prophesied work are false prophets, and they're leading the world away from Yahweh, not to him, but away from him. Yeshua says, the gangs are going to go the other way. Very few is going to find this. He calls us the little flock. Yes. And Yahweh can take a few, if you just notice, and this is what the games are going to be about too. It's going to show you how Yahweh actually defeated the thousands with a dozen or so. Or in Samson's case, one man. Well, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravenous wolves. Well, of course, that if you look back to Genesis 49, you'll see that. They're ravenous wolves. Well, and that's what you see in Cain, too. The ravenous wolf. If you'll hold your place right there and look back at Genesis 4, and Yahweh said to Cain, why are you angry? Verse 6, why are you angry? Why are you downcast? That's what we see in the world today. And they say that every person that is trained in the army now, when they're released, they have to be put on drugs in order to survive. Some kind of drugs to get them over what it was that they were going through. If you do righteousness, Yahweh says, verse 7, will you not be acceptable, or will your fruit not be acceptable? Because the fruit that he was producing, the fruit, the people, the offering that he brought to Yahweh, they were not acceptable. They were fighting and warring. That's shown above on one of Yahweh's Sabbaths. It's pictured, of course, as a garden and bringing forth vegetables, but that's not what it was bringing forth. It was bringing forth people. And the offering, the tree, as you see in chapter 2 and verse 9, those are trees of righteousness and evil that produce righteousness in people, or they produce evil, whichever one you choose. And the person chooses which fruit he wants to eat. If you choose the righteous fruit, will you not be acceptable? And if you do not do righteousness, sin, the breaking of Yahweh's laws, is crouching at your door. The desire to sin is there. Well, of course, this is the power of Satan. She has the power to deceive. The desire to sin. If you'd back up, stop, look, think. Like the peaceful solution says, hey, let's think about this. Before we do it, let's think about what we're going to cause here. If you cause that, if you agitate, you cause retaliation. And this is what's going on all over the world. I don't like that guy, so I'm going to create this to hurt him. Well, he knows you hurt him, so he's going to create something to hurt you. And it builds from there. Sin is crouching at your door. The desire to sin, if you want to make it into the straight life, straight gate, the desire to sin is with you, but you must overcome it. How did he know it's going to be with you? Satan is tempting everyone in the world. She tempted Yeshua, remember? It's with you, but you must overcome it. Well, Cain chose to kill Abel, and that's what he did. He sent his troops out, and he killed him. Well, back to Yeshua's words now about these two trees. The two trees, Abel and Cain, are two trees. And they taught. One of them taught the Catholic Church doctrines, which was the evil, like the gods, which still is. They don't teach Yahweh's righteousness. They don't keep the laws of Yahweh. They don't even keep the Ten Commandments. Yahweh prophesied through Daniel that they would fight against Yahweh, his name, and they'd also change his laws, especially the Sabbath. They don't want you meeting with Yahweh on his appointed Sabbath. Well, he says, beware of false prophets, verse 15, chapter 7 of Matthew, verse 15, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Fruits. And so these are trees. The first two trees is what he was speaking of that's come down to us today. All the world has gone the way of Cain. That's Yada 1 verse 11. You will know them by their fruits. What are they bringing forth today? Now be honest with yourself, all of you Christians living out there, hearing my voice, what are they bringing forth today? They're preparing to kill innocent people. men, women, and children. Now, I want you to remember right now that the Apostle Shaul, whose name they changed to Paul, he was one of them. He got orders from the Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians, chief priests. In fact, he was a Roman soldier that was trained by the chief priest, a Pharisee, trained by him to be a soldier, a Roman soldier. Rome means mighty warrior. The apostle, in his trial, he testified, "I got permission from the chief priest to go hunting these people and bring them back in chains, torturing them, forcing them to blaspheme, men, women, and children." This was the Catholic Church he was speaking of. Devil worshipers. Leaders of the leaders of these followed the gods, evil like the gods. The same fruit that you see in Genesis 2, verse 9. We see it with the apostle who was a Roman soldier that was led by, got instructions from, the Pharisees. And also testified that he was a Roman citizen, although he had never been to Rome. He wasn't born in Rome. He had never been to Rome. He was trained in Jerusalem even. Came to Jerusalem to be a Roman soldier. But he was a Roman citizen. Now that shows you, know them by their fruits. That shows you that he was a member of the Catholic Church that started with Cain and will end with the ten kings. Yes, with the ten kings and the seven hills of Rome. And I showed you last week now, if you remember, in Daniel 7, the ten kings, and I showed you that they're going to be still in action when Yahshua comes. When Yahshua comes with the clouds, they are going to be still in action. The ten kings. And now they're made manifest in these last days. Well, remember that now. And he says in verse 16, "You will know them by their fruits." You'll know them. That's the way you know that the Catholic Church is the same as Cain was when he killed Abel. The Roman Catholic Church. Do men gather grapes from thorns or figs from thistle trees? No. It's impossible. Likewise, every righteous tree brings forth the keeping of Yahweh's laws. Righteousness. 1 John 3:4 shows you what righteousness is. "And if you say, I know him and keep not his commandments, you're a liar and the truth is not in you." And of course, the Catholic Church, they don't even claim to keep Yahweh's laws anymore. They did at one time. The Christians claim to keep them, or used to claim to keep them. They don't anymore. "Likewise, every righteous tree brings forth righteous fruits, but the tree of evil brings forth iniquity." Iniquity actually means doing away with the law, doing away with Yahweh's laws of righteousness. He's speaking of the laws of righteousness. If you look back over to 6 and verse 33 there, he says, "Seek you first the kingdom of Yahweh," that's the house of Yahweh, "seek you first the house of Yahweh and his righteousness," or "seek you first the house of Yahweh where you will be taught righteousness." That's what the Savior was saying. 6:33, back to 7:17. "Likewise, every righteous tree brings forth righteous fruits, but the tree of evil brings forth fruits of iniquity," doing away with the laws of Yahweh. It couldn't be plainer than that. Surely everybody can understand that and agree with it. You go have any other agreement, you're on Satan's side. And this is what he's telling you here in no uncertain term. If you follow unrighteousness, he's going to say unto you, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who practice iniquity. That's in verse 33. But verse 8, he says, the evil, but the tree of evil brings forth iniquity. That's what they bring forth. That's what Cain brought forth. That's what the Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians brought forth. That's what the heads of Yaakov brought forth, proving they're all the same religion. They brought it out of Egypt, Samuel said. The Coptic Catholic religion came out of Egypt with them. Started by Cush in Egypt. It came out of Egypt with them and has been with the 10, 12 tribes of Israel ever since. It took them over. They were never in bondage, that is, in chains and bondage. They were in bondage to sin in Egypt while they were living on the pig meat. Yes, eating swine's flesh, swallowing the priest. A righteous tree cannot bring forth fruit of iniquity. We cannot bring it forth in the house of Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. Nor can this evil tree of evil, bring forth fruits of righteousness. They can't. It's impossible. They can't repent. Yahweh says they won't repent. He's asked them to. He's held out his hands all day long to them, he said. And they won't repent. Every tree which does not bring forth righteous fruit is cut down, cast into the fire. Now, this is like they're going to take you and cast you into the fire. That's not exactly the scenario that we see in the Scriptures. The scenario is they're going to bring forth the fire in their own bosoms, and these 10 kings that you see that are manifest in this time period, they're the ones that's going to turn against the Roman Catholic Church, of which they are now united with. Well, it comes and goes, you know. Yeah, I agree one day, but I don't the next. Well, that's exactly what Scripture showed. They themselves are going to be the ones, those 10 kings are going to be the ones that destroy this earth in their war against the Roman Catholic Church. It's going to be a big mess. The disagreement, the hatred is going to keep growing, and the lust, and of course everybody wanting a bigger slice of the pie, and they want to kill these people. Well, no, I want those people protected. I've already made agreement with them. Well, it's a big witch's concoction that is getting out of hand, that's boiling over. Therefore, by their fruits, and he keeps harping to you, by their fruits you know them. By the fruits you know Cain. He was the tree, and you know Abel. He was the tree of righteousness. By the fruits you know them. In the last days we have Abel, along with the whole world that Revelation 12:9 says is following Satan, and shows it from Revelation 13 clear to the last chapter. Not everyone who says to me, teacher, teacher, will enter into the kingdom of Yahweh, but only he who does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, teacher, teacher, have we not prophesied? See, these are priests. Isaiah said, on the priest, so will the people. Have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name? Now, these are the same ones now. These are the same ones that's got their demon games going that I'm just talking to you about, and talking to how the world is so hooked on this right now. Millions a day are buying these phones now, buying into this program. A day, every day. Many will say to me on that day, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name? And in your name perform many wonderful works? Well, here is his answer to you. If you want to go this route, the way of Cain, you will bring forth fruits of evil. Now, this is the one thing it's hard to convince the person. You know, here's a man working 8 hours a day. He and his wife working 8 hours a day to pay the bills, to raise their children, to teach them Baal worship. And they're saying, you mean we're bringing forth evil? And it's hard for them to believe, you know, they think they're training their children well. Well, the problem is they're not training them. They're not doing what Yahweh tells them to do, which is teach these laws to your children diligently. Yes, they're working. They're working day and night to take care of their children, see that they have an enjoyable life. Well, that enjoyable life, what little joy it is, comes to an end very shortly when they get their house taken away, their job taken away, and so forth. Now, that's occurring right now. That's happening in today's society right here in America. They keep it hush-hush, quiet, but it's there. And if you search the news, and we play it every once in a while, you can see it on the news. But besides that, they don't have a future to look forward to. The religions that they're putting their trust in is going to bring war, and they're going to try to come out on top, as Malachi Martin said. Malachi Martin told this whole thing before he died in his book, The Keys of This Blood. And he let it be known in a roundabout way that they were the ones sitting on the seven hills are the ones that came out of Egypt and they're the 12 tribes of Israel. Okay, we're in here 23, and chapter 7, verse 23. But then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who practice iniquity. If you practice righteousness, remember 1 John 3, 4, 7, and 8. If you practice righteousness, then you're classified as righteous. If you practice iniquity, doing away with the law, and these people that are working so hard by the billions of people working and thinking they're doing the right thing, you know, working 8 hours a day, man and wife, putting their children in daycare centers and so forth to have them taken care of, and they're just working really hard at this, and they consider themselves to be really righteous. No, they're not righteous. You're not righteous unless you teach Yahweh's laws diligently to your children. What is wrong with the world today is the children are not being taught. They're not being taught what sodomy will do to the body. If they were being taught what sodomy would do to the body, they would never commit sodomy. Unless there's something else wrong with their brain and they can't get what is taught to them. Verse 24, therefore, everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does them is like a wise man who built his house on a rock, a foundation. Well, Yahweh shows that rock and where it is today in Genesis 2. In Genesis 2, he says the same thing that Yahshua said in Genesis 2. Look at verse 16. These are the words right out of Yahshua's mouth that you just read. Him saying, to enter in through the straight gate, don't partake in any way. As Jeremiah says, learn not the way of the heathen. Learn not, that means don't do it. Don't practice it. No, don't practice cutting a tree out of the forest and decking it work with the axe and the nails and decking it with silver and gold and putting presents under it. Oh, something else you're going to find out. This is a program that institutes gift-giving. Gift-giving. What a wonderful thing that is. And people They see this and they practice it and they think they're doing righteousness because they've never been taught differently. Well, now remember what Yahshua said and read the words of Abel. Abel, the tree of righteousness. Abel, verse 16, Yahweh commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but the tree of the knowledge of righteousness and evil, you must not eat of it, or you will die." You must not. Now that's what Abel was teaching here, and of course Cain was teaching chapter 3, the first five verses there that shows worship, God worship. Don't eat or you will die, he said. Don't eat. And then Yahshua says, yes, you're going to die. I'm going to say to you, I never knew you. If you practice this God worship, if you practice Christmas tree, if you practice Halloween, if you practice Easter, these are all things that people think are A-OK. Now, this game that you're getting on the telephone, on this phone, the jokey man, that's what I would name it, because the joke is on you if you don't pick this up. Anything that can take your mind off of Yahweh's word, the study of his word, you ought to be just cramming for your exam right now in these scriptures. And I don't know if you could keep up with my newsletters or not, but you need to, because I'm bringing out all of this stuff in the newsletters and putting it out on the news. But you can get it firsthand. Anyone can that wants it. All they got to do is put their name on the list and we'll mail it to you if you want us to. Well, here is Cain now. Cain is the tree of evil that brings forth this teaching. It wasn't Satan herself that was teaching Eve here. She was teaching it through her representative, the mouth. The mouth is given a mouth. That's said in many. Well, this, of course, is to so he can speak and teach. But now the serpent. The word Vatican actually means the divining serpent. The divining serpent. Catholic means universal, which means they don't limit themselves to, they will not limit themselves to what righteous morals, and that's what the Pope is saying right now. They don't limit themselves to worship of one God, as they call it. They worship all the gods. They try to convince you that Yahweh is a God. They even did it when they was translating the scriptures. Let me show you a trick that they pulled here. Look at chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 26. He says, "Then Yahweh said," in the King James Version. I don't have it with me, but I can remember what he said. The King James Version says, "Let us make man in our image." If you got a King James Version, you can look that up. Let us. That's not what the original said. The original says, "I will make." But look at the very next verse and you'll see. Do you see us there anywhere? Read it. Yahweh showed me that in the King James Version before the book of Yahweh was ever written. King James Version, verse 26, says, "Let us make man." What does verse 27 say? Read it. Do you see us? Do you see one more than one person there? One being? So you can see how it contradicted itself there. And I said, you know, this is not true here. Something is wrong. This is a mistranslation. And I think at about 17 years old, I knew that. Well, chapter 3. Now, the serpent was more subtle. The serpent is still more subtle than any of the other trees throughout the whole world. The serpent is taught, doing her main teaching from these seven hills of Rome. and I've actually named this group after them. This was the one that Daniel saw that became so strong, so terrible, so vicious. Daniel 7, and he showed this and said, showed these 10 horns and says these are going to be burned with fire, but they're going to be still in action, passing laws right up to the time that Yeshua comes. That's all in Daniel 7. I brought it out last week. Well, this serpent, the Vatican, is actually named that divining serpent, the divining serpent. And Revelation shows she's the leader of the kings of the earth. We know the kings are religions. They're religions, the four religions that was plucked up and taken to Rome by the Herodians. Well, here now in chapter 3, he says the serpent was more subtle and crafty than any of the beasts of the field. This was not talking about cows and dogs. Cows and dogs don't deceive people. It's talking about beast that was already active at that time. I don't know how far in history, in 129 years, that this took place, but it did take place. And you can see from some of the dates that it could have been at different times, but there was other beast that was created by Satan, using Cain to do so. And these were religions, of course, or religious leaders, as they are known today, the word kings. It can be a religion or a religious leader. And, of course, this beast that Daniel saw that will be alive today, and Yeshua's coming, is spoken of right here. It's speaking of them right here in this chapter. The serpent, that divining serpent that is alive when Yeshua comes and active and will destroy itself with the nuclear bomb started in 1934. Don't forget the knowledge increase that started in 1934. And the last witness Abel that started in 1934, his birth. All three of these were started in 1934. And this teaching right here that comes down to us today is the same one that is against us and making war against the house of Yahweh right now, making war against the Lamb. These 10 kings are making war against the Lamb. How are they making war? The Pope himself said that Mary should be the top god. That there wouldn't be a Savior if it wasn't for Mary. So Mary should be our top priority, our top worship. That's Francis. So keep all of that in mind now as we read this and know that the serpent, that divining serpent that sits on seven hills, is active today that was active then. The beast of the field, beast, that is the other religious powers that was prevalent. That you'll read after we leave this part, between there and chapter 6 where they destroyed themselves. But you will read that there was tyrants, that King James Version calls them, the gods came down and saw that the women were pleasant to look at, and they started a breeding program. This is not true at all. It has nothing to do with mankind. They can't cross with other beings out there at all. No way. This was tyrants that was brought through teaching of war, and they started their war schools. Harvard University, I heard that somebody was going to that today, a very famous woman. There's three of them here in the United States that teaches you to become president or become a general, a top general. I think they place you as a general from the school. They place you as a general out there already once you finish this school with certain honors. Well, this is what was taking place that you can read about as you go from here to the flood. You'll read about these schools that produce tyrants. And of course, after the flood, you can read about them more. And then you can read in Daniel where you'll see the top one, the most evil of all the others that has ever been formed. And as I wrote in the book, The Mark of the Beast, these are world-ruling kingdoms, and there won't ever be another one after that fourth one. And the fourth one is going to destroy itself with nuclear burning. Okay, now, read this. And the serpent was more subtle, crafty than the beast of the field that Yahweh had made. And she said to the woman, has Yahweh indeed said, you will not eat of every tree? Notice that it uses the word trees here now that was created here. Yahweh said, don't listen to Cain. Don't listen to the Catholic Church. Be careful not to let anyone deceive you, as Yochanan said. 1 Yochanan 3 verse 4. Don't let anyone deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, and he belongs to Yahweh. The others belong to Satan. This is the same sermon that is being taught by Cain, right here. This was the one that was teaching, the first pope, and he was preaching a sermon right here. But the fruit of the tree, which is in the midst of the garden, Yahweh said, you shall eat it, you shall not eat it, neither shall you touch it, or you will die. And the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. That's the same thing that they're teaching today. But they can't agree with each other. If you remember in the trials of Shaul, when he was on trial, he talked about the resurrection. And of course, one of the groups taught there is no resurrection. We'll never die, they say. Well, that's the Masons, of course. They're saying, and if you sign this thing saying that Yahweh lied like Satan, you can be a Mason. But you got to sign the thing saying, I believe that we have an immortal soul. We won't die. So if we don't die, there is no resurrection. And that's what some of them are teaching. Some of them are teaching there is a resurrection. Others are teaching they're not. So these people that are saying they're in unity, they're not. The four kings that refused to sign or refused to come to the meeting, even Russia being one of them, Russian Orthodox being one of them. I forgot the other three, they're all the same thing. They didn't agree. They had already had contact. They knew what some of this was as asking for answers. They didn't want to give them the answers. They want them to sign in blindly, become blind leaders of the blind. And, of course, they're all going to fall in the ditch, as Yahshua said. Well, verse 3 now, it said, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, Yahweh said, you shall not eat of it. That's the one that teaches that the knowledge of righteousness and evil. Now, they've gotten rid of, as Daniel said, they've gotten rid of all forms of righteousness. They're attacking all forms of righteousness now. Daniel said this beast would, this fourth beast, that becomes very strong. Nor shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for he knows that in the day that you eat, your eyes will be opened, and you will be as gods. Be like the gods, not like Yahweh, knowing evil. Once you touch it, once you start taking of it, he says, learn it not. Don't learn the way of the heathen. They cut trees out of the forest. They deck it with silver and gold. They're worshiping that god. Many gods, in fact, several gods. But the sun god, December the 25th, that's the birthday of the sun god that they chose for that celebration. Halloween worships all the gods. All Saints Day, they call it. That's all the gods that they have deified. They worship all the gods on Halloween. If you were a part of Halloween, you're a God worshiper. You need to repent bitterly. You need to repent bitterly. Don't practice that way of life. Don't eat of that tree. It just leads to more and more and more. And you become a part of what you see going on the news today. All the murders of babies, of adults, all the murders throughout the world, the shootings, you're a part of it. You become a part of it if you celebrate Christmas, Halloween, Easter, if you eat pork, if you break any of these laws, you become a part of it. If you don't obey your husband, if you don't love your wife, you have become a part of this. So when the woman saw that the tree was desirable, yes, it looks desirable, doesn't it? It looks desirable to play a fool, to play an idiot, and go ahead and partake of something that Yahweh tells you there's no eternal life in it. You better stay away from it. Don't eat it. Well, this was Cain, and I have an idea that this man preached a fantastic sermon here this day in convincing Eve. Well, Eve was among the group anyway. And on that day, they heard the way, in verse 8, then on that day they heard the way of Yahweh, Father Yahweh, according to the word of Yahweh, the laws and the prophets being proclaimed in the garden, and Adam and Eve hid themselves from the presence of Yahweh among the trees of the garden. Well, of course, this is how they wind up. In chapter 12 of Revelation, verse 9, it says, the whole world is deceived by Satan. Satan has deceived the whole world. That's true. And you can see it if you'll just look. There's only one group that was prophesied that would teach the laws of Yahweh. I don't have time to read the whole chapter, but you really need to read this afternoon, maybe, while this is fresh on your mind, 1 Yochanan 3, the whole chapter. Satan has authority to deceive. She has demons working with her that was cast down with her. Let's read this last scripture in Matithya 8, and look at verse 28. Matithya 8, because we are fixing to see miracles. Yahweh said if it was possible, they would deceive the very elect. Before you touch a tree that you have any doubts about or don't know about completely, you need to ask. You need to ask at Abel. Chapter 8 and verse 28 is where we want to see. And I want you to grasp this because you have that power right now. When he came to the other shore, before this, he was out on the Sea of Galilee. A storm came up, and Yahshua commanded the wind to calm, and it did, and they were surprised that he had that authority, as verse 27 shows. Then 28, they came over to the other shore then, to the country of the, should be Gadareans, they put Gadareans, but it's Gadareans, those who worship gods, and of course they made a open display of their powers that they got through demons. And they had the apostles dealt with these things many times in their work, that the demons had possessed certain bodies and they were doing certain things and speaking certain things that was not heard of in man's schools and so forth. So you're probably going to see that again, or more spectacular things than that from what Matithya 24 shows. He says, but they came across to the other shore, to the country of the Gadareans. Two men were demon-possessed, so furious that no one could travel by that way. came out from the tombs to meet him. These two men were so furious now that the people had to avoid getting around them at all. And behold, they cried out, saying, "What do you want with us, Yeshua?" Now, these were demon-possessed men. And I want you to know that they recognized Yeshua as they recognize you today. The way they recognize you is the same way Yahweh recognizes you. You practice righteousness. Practice righteousness. Then they recognize you as belonging to Yahweh. And they can't touch you. We've had people come here that was demon-possessed. We cast the demons out, and they're still here, in fact. The people are still here. The demons are gone. David Yehuda used to threaten them, I remember. I guess he still does when he casts them out. But you have power over the demons. Don't let them strike fear into you. They can't harm you. Well, Yeshua, what do you want with us, Yeshua, the Son of Yahweh? See, they recognized that he was the Son of Yahweh. They recognize you are the Son of Yahweh, my sons and my daughters. Remove your foot from the Sabbath. Isaiah 58, here's the way you started. You start practicing keeping the Sabbath day at Yahweh's house. That shows who you belong to. You come here to put us to the test before the time. Now these guys recognize that there's a time period when their time is up, because they turned against Yahweh and there's no reviving them. Like Yahweh said, or the apostle said, there's no renewing them to repentance once they make up their mind and leave. Now, at some distance from them, there was a large herd of swine feeding, and the demons pleaded with him, saying, if you cast us out, allow us to go into the herd of swine. You see how they recognize his power over them? So they're asking him now to permit them to go into the herd of swine, which he did. And, of course, the swine ran into the waters and drowned themselves. But if you go back, let's read one more. No, I'll just bring it to your attention. Remember Yahweh... showing you the serpent there in Genesis, showing you how she refutes what Yahweh says at his house, but now she's refuting what Yahweh said, what he has written. Now, this man that was teaching, in the congregation there that Eve attended, she never should have attended it, but he was her son. So she put an ear to where she could hear the sermon that was going on. And lo and behold, she was convinced and went ahead and practiced what he was practicing. It could have been the eating of swine's flesh, following the priest that eats swine's flesh, because that's one of the fruits of every fall away that I know of. They turn back to eating swine's flesh, and so there's got to be some kind of pull there. I'm not saying it is, absolutely, but it could have been. But Yahweh is showing you in every one of these examples here, and we can bring this out in this program, this phone program that we're wanting to produce. And to where it will be joyful for young people, but at the same time, it'll be teaching them the Holy Scriptures instead of following demons. What this teaches you, this telephone thing, it teaches you to fight in war. And of course, from what I'm told, it teaches you to bring forth more demons out of your pocket, stronger demons to attack the opponents of demons. And it must be one fantastic game, very desirable to watch and practice. Desirable. The way of Satan is very desirable. And it'll be more desirable in this generation than ever before. So you can see how even the cards that they invented back a few years ago when the telephones was just coming out, the mobile phones, it was on cards, card games. Well, now they got it on the phone itself, so you got it in action and can actually see it and be a part of producing this war. You become a producer of it, like the woman that they made agree, or they asked her, did she agree on killing all these people? And she said yes. So you become a part of this war game, but it's also in your mind. It's put into your mind, so you actually, as Yeshua said, if you lust after the person, you've committed adultery already in your heart. So that makes you belonging to Satan, until you repent and convert. This puts it in your mind. Well, what we want to put in the people's minds is, first off, how the gods or demons, they were actually the sons of Yahweh that came to earth. I don't know if they had instant travel like Yeshua had, but they came to earth. They had powers to create. Satan did too. She might have been a part of it. But they had powers to create and maintain flesh, like Hillel did. But they created the dinosaurs. The dinosaurs became what you see in this thing today, in this war game, where it was war and fighting, and they destroyed themselves. And, of course, Yahweh rebuilt the earth, put divisions in the heavens and in the firmament, and placed man here, and says, now I am going to make man in my image. And so Satan, ever since that time period now, ever since they put him here, Satan has made it a point to pull him away, to keep him away from Yahweh, keep him from becoming made in the image and likeness of Yahweh. Because Yahweh plainly shows in Psalms 8 that he is going to give him authority, great authority, over all the things that his fingers have framed. And his fingers have framed this whole universe because he's the only one that has power to create. There's two things that he does that none of the beings have ever been able to produce, and that Satan lost hers. She could have at one time, but she lost hers, Scripture shows. But Yahweh can create. He's the only being that claims that, and he can also foretell the future. Praise Yahweh. Anyway, get those who are interested now in helping to produce this and become a part of it. If you help to become a part of this now, it's going to be something that's going to go on for a long, long time. I don't think it'll ever end. But be a part of producing this game. Get your name in with Kohan Elia Hyler Hawkins and the crew back there, and with Tana on this side and crew over here. I think I named them. And I guess back in the back of the sanctuary, right? Okay. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next song. I love you.
I love you.